Welcome to Problem Corner. More than just a radio show, it's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Well, good morning, hello, and welcome to the Problem Corner podcast. I'm your host, Wade Bryson, and you can get in touch with me by sending me an email, KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link, and that'll send your Problem Corner email, and I'll be able to read it during one of my Problem Corner podcasts. So welcome to this Saturday morning. I hope you are having a great week. It's been a busy one with lots of events. I have a handful of emails, so that is great that people have been emailing throughout the week. And again, KINYradio.com, click on it. You can send me your question. You can send me your topic that you want to know about. If you want a phone call from me during one of these recordings, then include your phone number. Say, hey, Wade, give me a shout, and I absolutely will give you a call. Well, thanks for joining me today. I've got a handful of topics. As I went to the Miners Association this morning, I was bringing them up to speed on some of the relevant City Hall topics. I do have some emails today, and we'll probably even have a phone call or two. So we'll get started here. School district, school board, school redistricting. Anything to do with schools right now is a hot topic. Jenny wanted to let everyone know that there is a petition that is circulating now that is asking the school board to reconsider option number 6 that would keep both high schools and 2 middle schools, but would have a 7 through 12 model. And so they're asking through the 7 through 12 for both schools there. Man, that's a tough one. However, there is kind of a way to do it. One of the things that I got to do last week was take a tour of Marie Drake, which is currently being used as Yakus and the Montessori School. It's a 70,000 square foot building that is nestled directly in between Juneau Douglas High School and Harborview. We walked through it with the premise of, could this be City Hall? My initial gut reaction is no, it probably could not be City Hall. We had an initial school CIP list numbers as Marie Drake was in the CIP list to get a renovation, and it was $30 million to just renovate the mechanical systems of the building. They're all past their extended life, and yeah, it's there was a reason why they gave us Marie Drake, a school right in between two schools, is because it was in probably the worst condition of all of the schools that we have. Yay. We also took a tour of the school administration building that is located out front of Harborview. That's a 9,000 square foot building that could only really be a short-term solution for any City Hall component. So that didn't go anywhere, and it did muddy up the water as we had an RFP, a request for a proposal, to rent 2 floors of the Michael Burns building, or you might know it as the Permanent Fund building. And so negotiations have begun on CBJ renting out 2 floors to be City Hall, or now we're somewhere in the process. Maybe the negotiations haven't quite begun, but they're talking. So what does that mean? And that stemmed from my 7th through 12th model. If you did that and you allowed 7th and 8th graders to maybe reside in Riverbend, maybe. That way you don't have 7th and 8th graders going to school with, you know, 12th graders. Is it a good idea to have 11-year-olds in the same school building as 18 or 19-year-olds? All right. If you were down at JD, you could keep the high school at JD and then use Murray Drake as the middle school. And that would be a way that you could keep the do that 7th through 12th model that might almost fit everybody. I don't know which is the right model. I have not done, haven't studied it because I knew they were going to change their minds. I knew there was going to be very little input from the assembly. So there is a petition, and I've seen it on the Facebook. And so if you're looking for the petition, you could probably type in like Juno School Restructuring Petition, and I bet you something like that would pop up. All right, if you've got 2 cents on that as the course of this week progresses, send me an email. Go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and that'll send your email right over here, and we'll be able to read your comments and give your 2 cents on it. All right. What else do we have going on here? Oh, I made a note. It was on Wednesday that I celebrated my 29th anniversary of being here in Juneau, Alaska. I got here on March 6th. Like 4 something in the morning, because that great ferry was like, hey, it's 4, we're here. Drove around while my dad was in the federal building that first morning, and it was one of those crisp, cold, ice cold, but very sunny blue sky days. I was like so blown away. I was in Alaska now, and oh man, I never looked back. I've gone back sometimes, you know, I got to go visit the folks, but I've never had a desire to live any other place ever since I got to Juneau. So, yay for Juneau. All right, man, what else do we have going on here? Yeah, so I was talking about a couple of city things. I think Floyd Dryden is the next building to be looked at. And there's a couple of crazy ideas out there on how Floyd Dryden could be repurposed. What would we do as a city with a school building? What do you do? I was in Huntsville, Alabama, and one of my buddies took me to an old elementary school that they converted into a bar restaurant complex. 2 bars and a restaurant in it, and it had plenty of parking. It had plenty of restrooms. It looked still like a school, but they just went with it. They were like, the bar's over here and the bar's over here. Ignore the lockers. So schools have been repurposed. Now, I've been in Floyd Dryden. My children attended Floyd Dryden from somewhere around 2007 or 2008 to like 2020. My kids were still in there. It was a long stretch that my kids were in Floyd Dryden, 13 or 14 years in a row that I had a kid, at least one kid, at Floyd Dryden. So I'm familiar with the school and the teachers, and maybe not this current principal, but the other principals I knew quite well. And so it is a little bit heart-wrenching to walk into a school knowing it's going to close. Seeing the lockers that were painted in Yakutsk, they painted it to look like Chatham Strait. I mean, that'll pluck on your heartstrings pretty seriously. So what could we do to Floyd Dryden that would make it not depressing to go in there? Because that would be the only way that it'd have to be fully repurposed so that you were okay going in there. Because if you walk in there and it's like this sad old reminder and you got to walk down a whole bunch of dark hallways or rooms before you get to the thing that you're doing, that's not going to work. However, if we converted one wing of Floyd Dryden into the Juneau Animal Rescue, they desperately need a new building. We could give them more than enough square feet. Then you take the other side of Floyd Dryden, because it's all wings. It's like 4 wings. It's shaped kind of like an H with the principal or the administration offices in the middle. And then it's got 2 like arms that go off each side. So you can section up the school pretty easy. And if the other side of the school was, get this, child care. in a school, like, has already been designed to keep kids in it. So one half of the building, and probably use the half that's more accessible for transportation-wise, for childcare. It's brilliant. We already own the building, so people would only have to make it work financially for them. Juno Animal Rescue could take the other side of it. And if there was enough room, I've got this great idea. Senior daycare center, or senior day center. That's probably the best way. And so a place where seniors could go. And if it worked out and we did it right, oh my gosh, seniors could pick if they wanted to go work with the rescue animals that day or if they wanted to work with childcare that day. It seems like a perfect hat trick of services to provide to the community using an old school. Now, you hear me talk about it, because the way some of these projects work, you have to talk about it until everybody's heard the idea enough where they're comfortable with it. Because right now, everybody's still screaming about save my school, and I'm trying to think just a little bit past that. Hey, if you got 2 cents on the petition that's going around, any of the decisions that the school district made, anything along those lines, I'd love to get your 2 cents. Go to KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link and give me your 2 cents about what we could do to move our school district forward. What are some of the best options for us? And I'll be able to include it in the next Problem Corner. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right. Welcome back to Problem Corner. I do have an email here from Dave. He is selling 60 assorted salmon fishing weights, banana shape. You know what those are. He wants $120 for the box. He's got 2 4-ouncers, 19 5-ouncers, 32 6-ouncers, 4 8-ouncers, 1 10-ounce, 1 12-ounce, and 1 16-ounce. And so if you are looking for assorted salmon fishing weights, 60 of them, $120 for the box. Dave's number, 419-7562. For the 60 assorted salmon fishing weights, 419-7562. Hey, and I want to remind you again to send me an email this week when you're thinking about it. Whether you got something to sell or something to say, go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link. Leave me your ad. Leave me your gripe. If you want me to give you a call, just tell me that. Hey, wait, give me a shout here, and I'll call you during one of the Problem Corners. Just like Dave. Again, his 60 salmon fishing weights, $120 for the box, 419-7562. All right. So that's kind of how calls are going to work on Problem Corner. People are going to let me know, or I'm going to reach out to you before the show and say, hey, we're going to talk, and I've got somebody that I want to talk to that might have an electrifying conversation for us to have. Let's see what we can do here.
Hey, hello.
Hey, good morning. This is Wade from Problem Corner. How are you doing today?
Hey, good, Wade.
All right, yeah. Well, we're live on the air, and I want to know, what's your problem?
Well, my problem is that I got some information to share on all of the wherewithal that has happened with the Alaska Energy State Task Force and legislation moving through that's moving us to lower cost energy and helping us out, not only in our region, but in the rest of the state.
Hold on, you're going to lower our electric bill?
Well, the governor put out this task force that he actually wants to get universally across the state. The goal is 10-cent power.
And what do we pay right now?
I know that's a monumental effort, but it's kind of like a moonshot.
Okay.
And if you don't aim for a bullseye, you ain't going to get it on accident.
That is correct. Do you know what we're paying now? We have 12-cent or 13-cent electricity?
Yeah, it's about like that. And when you got to remember that the cost of power is not just the cost. It's all the service fees and everything that add up to it. And, Juneau has a little unique thing because we pay a little bit different in the winter as we do in the summer. So, but statewide and within our region, we pay many places above the national average, and you know, hydropower communities tend to be lower, and non-hydropower communities tend to be higher cost power. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
So we are a blessed state with blessed resources, with lots and lots of energy. I mean, if we were our own nation, we would be the envy of many places. And yet, you know, with all these beautiful energy resources, we should have the lowest cost power in the nation, and we don't. So, you know, the governor said, okay, what's the 5, 10, 15, what's the outlook here of where do we go? And so he asked this task force to come up with some recommendations. And so, you know, there's some large overarching recommendations, and then there's ones that are focused on, like, the rail belt versus coastal communities versus, you know, the coastal region, which we're doing, and then rural, rail belt, and coastal. So I just wanted to share with you some of the Alaska market initiatives for the coastals, because that's Juneau.
Okay. Well, that's good news for us if we're going to have even a penny off of our kilowatt. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's
no silver bullet, and nothing's free. But, you know, I will tell you that there's a premise. There's nothing cheaper than old hydro. And you don't get old hydro unless you build it now, and then in 50 years after it's all paid off, it's basically free, because at that point, it's an O&M, operations and maintenance.
Which is kind of the situation we're at with our existing big dam that the feds gave us decades ago. Snisham, yeah.
Snisham. And I read Senator Greening's reports when he was having public meetings. You know, there's people that were against that.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, they were saying that the price of fuel is so low that this is ludicrous. People are crazy to build hydropower because, you know, it's going to be more than the cost of diesel.
Man, I'm glad they were on the wrong side of that. Holy cow.
Well, I hate to have the names of those people because they were in a public testimony. It's written down, you know. You're on the wrong side of history, partner.
Yep.
Exactly.
All right, well, I heard a really, really interesting fact that goes along with how important this hydro is, and that Juneauites sort of get it. I thought I'd heard that our local Subaru dealer was the number one electric vehicle dealer in the nation. Like our Subaru dealer. For Subaru.
Yep.
So they're selling more e-Subarus than the rest of the nation. That is phenomenal.
Right, and this is the first model year they've come out with them, and I mean,
holy cow!
Yeah, it's the Subaru Solterra EV.
Yep.
You know, we have hundreds of Leafs running around. We got, you know, hundreds of
lots
Teslas
of Leafs.
Running around.
Yep, lots of Leafs.
Lots of Leafs, lots of Teslas, and now we got Subaru Solterras, and you know, because they can service and sell them here in Juneau, they're doing a swell job.
Well, that's great, because I'm definitely seeing them around. And, hey, everything that we turn into hydropower, every house that we convert from oil to heat pump, every car that we go from, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, I bet you I pay $100 a week to keep my truck running. Like, I think that's the gas bill a week. So every $100 a week truck that is replaced with hydropower vehicle, which is in my future, I mean, we're making a real difference in our carbon footprint, which is part of the CBJ's assembly goals. So,
well, you hit the green, but there's a rectangular green, so you're paying $100, right?
Yep.
Well, if you were driving an electric truck, you're probably paying about $33 or $20.
Okay.
I drive my vehicle around all month long. I'm not overly driving, not underly driving, just an average
Juneau driver.
Right?
Yep.
Yep. And I tell people, they say, "Well, how much does it cost to run your electric vehicle?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you this way, it's in beer math." And they go, "Beer math." I said,
"All right, I like beer math."
I think it costs me less to run all month long in one of my electric vehicles than it does to go buy a 12-pack of beer made here in Juneau.
Wow.
That's beer math for you.
That is some beer math. Hey, that's our time. Thanks for calling and telling us a little bit of your problem with getting more electricity to Juneau and more hydropower. I certainly appreciate it.
Cool. Cheers.
All right. Till next time. So, do you have an EV? Have you converted to EV? I'm really leaning on my wife. We got a Subaru, and I'm like, honey, that really needs to be a Solterra. We'll see. We'll see if I can talk her into it. So, now, have you converted? Do you have an EV? What is the change that you've seen? And the other EVs that impact us all and will have the greatest carbon impact are the 8 Gilliam e-buses that are in process. Like, we've got our names tied to them. They might not be, I bet you most of them aren't built yet, but we have grant funding. They're in the pipeline, and everyone wants to criticize our Proterra 1 e-bus that we had that has not been running. They're not using it right now, but the lessons that they learned were so incredibly valuable. Now that we're going with Gilliam, which is the existing brand that we currently have of buses, that is going to really make a difference. And hopefully we'll be running them downtown, and instead of the roar of the diesel engine and the puff of the diesel smoke, you will get like a... I think it sounds like a TV turning on when the e-bus is running next to you. And when I have more information about when we get those, I will let you know. And then at the last assembly meeting, CBJ got a grant, as that past caller was talking about, EV, electric vehicle trucks. Juneau just received a grant for just under $80,000 for an electric truck. And so we'll be able to add one of those to our inventory, courtesy of the federal government, and hopefully learn some lessons. Hopefully it'll last a little bit longer than the e-bus. But if the world's going that way, we knew that the first generations were going to have hiccups, and hopefully as they continue to make more, we'll see positive changes in that. All right, I'm going to go ahead and go to the commercial break. I'll be right back with more Prom Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Prom Corner. Go ahead and send me an email right now while you're listening, while you're thinking about it. KINYradio.com. Click on the Prom Corner link. Get that Prom Corner email over here. And then I believe we can get you included in the Prom Corner. Just like the good old days, right? I do have an email from Bruce. And he's referring to Telephone Hill. Housing has been the number one priority of this assembly and the previous assembly, and I think even the assembly before that. We're taking more actions to incentivize people building homes right now, and we're doing homes above all else. This person says, irregardless of the funding challenge, I think it is sad that we missed the opportunity to build the most beautiful Capitol building on Telephone Hill in America's most beautiful capital city. Well, Bruce, thanks for that. I believe that discussion of building a new Capitol building on Telephone Hill was from one of our previous mayors as they were trying to update or upgrade the Capitol building, which would have been a great nail in the coffin of Capitol creep if we had a brand new Capitol building. I think the final outcome became that we acquired the building next to them and then donated it to the legislature so that they did have enough space to conduct the Capitol's business. So, yep, it was a funding challenge. It was a decade longer than that ago. Right now, the discussion of Telephone Hill to address this email is not if we're going to build a capital on it. We're not going to do that. The conversation is now, do we build probably around 100 apartments, or do we not do anything and allow the 12 units that are currently being used there to stay? The buildings are in poor condition. We've talked about Telephone Hill significantly. We don't have buildings ready to go in place, but we are moving in that direction. And while some people wanted us to stop trying to evaluate the historic value of them, one of the suggestions has been made. Can we pick up one of the homes and just go underneath it, lift it, and move it somewhere? If a private organization wanted to do something like that, they absolutely could. No problem. We would let them. There'd probably have to be conversations in assembly process. But if that was one of the outcomes that an organization wanted to do, they're like, hey, we want to go take that old telephone house and go save it somewhere else. That's a possibility. Trying to prevent the 100 units or the new apartment building, trying to prevent new infill housing, stopping that is not going to be one of the options. And here's what I said at the last meeting that we had on that. And I don't want to beat too many problems over the head here, but all city code dictates that we move in the direction of best use of the land for the better of the whole community. There's so many codes that say you can't just benefit one group of people, which if we left these alone as is with people renting right there, that is one small group benefiting from that and not using that gift from the state for the best use of all of Juneau. And people want to talk about the historic component of it. Well, they are old homes. If you go, it's so sticky of a topic because why don't you go back to the history before those homes were there? And, then we talk about which history should we honor. And so I don't know that, like I said, all city code really just moves us away from trying to preserve Telephone Hill and move it into Telephone Hill to benefit all of Juneau and helping solve our housing crisis in the middle is, I think, our responsibility there. All right. Well, thank you for that. And Bruce, I appreciate the email and remembering that we've had grandiose plans in the past, and sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. All right. So speaking next of grandiose plans, the Dow Group and DOT have come out with I don't want to say it's the final product of the Pell study, but they had the last meeting of the two-year cycle of the the Pell process, stakeholder group input. So we got a couple of presentations they did yesterday, and all right. So some people have talked about the Mendenhall Peninsula option, and I used to say, well, that's going to be $400 million if it's a penny. $400 million for a 400-foot bridge. That is ridiculous. I was so wrong about the price tag. The other preferred alternatives, Sunny Point, East West, Vanderbilt, Twin Lakes, and Salmon Creek, all are in the 270 for Vanderbilt Hill, $270 million to cross at Vanderbilt, all the way up to like $350, $380 for one of the other locations in that area. They were all in that range. So just under $400 were all of the channel crossing south of the airport. Anybody want to take a guess how much the Mendenhall Peninsula option cost, or their estimate was? Well, the first thing that you need to know is that it was in the billions with a B. That blew my mind. They didn't even start talking about millions for that one. $1.7 billion to cross at the Men Pen option. So I'm going to politely request that Juno not request or pursue the Mendenhall Peninsula option. One of the criteria, is it affordable? And if we insist on a $1.7 billion option for Juno, we're going to end up with a big fat goose egg, kind of like when we tried to build a grandiose new Capitol building for the city and then have the city pick up the tab on that. Held out? The answer was no. City Hall held out for the big old building with the parking underneath, and the community said no. If we try to hold out for this Mendenhall Peninsula option, it's already over. It's already done. They're already going to say no. So I would be wary of that. The other options, there was good and bad on every part of it. Nothing jumped out as the forerunner, with the exception of Vanderbilt Hill, which has the lowest price tag of all of them. The Juno side, not the Douglas side, but on Juno side, there's already a controlled light intersection there. And so it does have the lowest price tag, and then the lowest amount of private property would be impacted by that route. That may be why it bubbles up to one of the higher ones. So, Mendenhall Peninsula, 1.7. Let's just take that one off the list right now, because it's going to cause problems if we go in that direction. All right. And again, if you have 2 cents on this, how do you feel about the second crossing? And we're not even supposed to call it the second crossing, the North Douglas crossing. How do you feel about the North Douglas crossing? Let me know. Go to KINYradio.com, click the Brom Corner link, and I'll take your 2 cents on that. I'm going to go ahead and take that last break. I'll be right back with the rest of Brom Corner on KINY. Welcome back to Prom Corner. Go ahead, send me an email, KINYradio.com. Click on the Prom Corner link. I'll send your email right over here. And if you'd like for me to contact you, tell me that, and I'll give you a call when I'm recording a Prom Corner. This person's problem or concern is with Bartlett Hospital. They took their three-month-old, oh, how precious, but how scary to have your three-year-old into the ER on the 25th of February due to a seizure. The ER on call said it's impossible for babies to have seizures. She's perfectly healthy. Her fiance and herself were not comfortable with that diagnosis, so they used their own money to fly out that night to Seattle Children's Hospital, where she had one before we took her in and one in the ER, where the emergency response team administered seizure medication as well as oxygen. She had another one upstairs when we got admitted. She's been having them ever since. My opinion is Bartlett should have listened to us and medevaced us instead of misdiagnosed and sent us home. It's not impossible for babies to have seizures. Well, to this family, you have my deepest sympathy. That sounds like a horribly scary scenario to go through. I really hope the kid's okay. So what would be a way to handle this? My recommendation is to reach out to the Bartlett administration, not the hospital, but the administration building, Bob Valiant building, I believe they call it. Ask to speak to the risk management officer. Speak to the risk management officer. They're the people that kind of have to be aware of the concerns like this. And so that would be the very first person. I've run into an issue before. And, you know, everybody's just trying to do their best. Patients, care providers, nurses, doctors. But if everybody's not communicating on the same page, there is a process that they bring everybody together so that all sides could be heard. And they try to, you know, come up with an appropriate course of action. And so that would be my number one recommendation. Reach out to the risk management officer for Bartlett. Let them know the situation and see how they proceed from there. How horribly scary would that be to go through with one of, especially a 3-month-old? Oh my gosh. All right. Hopefully everything's okay. To this person, if you would be kind enough to send us the outcome when you and your baby get home, we want to know that you're okay. You got the email, KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link. All right. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I think I mentioned at the beginning of the show, March 6th, I celebrated my 29th anniversary for being here in Juneau. It's a little hard for me to fathom that I've lived in Juneau that long. I still look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, God, like I'm about as mature as the 21-year-old that showed up. I'm really sorry about that. But yeah, I just could not imagine living anywhere else. Weirdly, though, an event happened on March 6th, 6 or 7 years ago. Dave Estes, he was the owner of Collector's Hideaway. He had been a lifelong Junoite. If you had traded in precious coins or collectible coins or collectible cards anywhere in the 90s, 80s, 90s, or 2000s, you dealt with Dave. And Dave passed away from a heart attack on March 6th. So it is always a great day that I get to celebrate my anniversary, but then I always remember that I'm missing my friend, Dave Estes. He was an awesome, awesome gentle giant, like 6'6", 280, just a huge man, but like I said, just a gentle giant. All right. Do any of his buddies still play Magic? Did you ever play a Magic game that used the Dave card? They turned him into a Magic card. If you did, let me know about that story. That would be awesome. I had a question come up here that is related to schools, but on a lighter note. The question is, why don't schools teach penmanship, writing in cursive anymore? And, you know, that has been it hasn't been asked recently, but that question has been asked a lot over the years. If you look to, I don't want to call them boomers, the greatest generation, and that was the one before, but they're boomers. The parents of the Gen Xers, man, every one of them have beautiful handwriting. I don't think I know a senior or an elder that doesn't just have great writing, unless medical things have caused that change. They just they practiced penmanship so much, and so they developed that dexterity and those writing skills because it was a huge part of their learning lessons when they were going to school. And then you take us Gen Xers, and we had a little bit of practice. They were still teaching cursive at that time, but it was less and less emphasis. And then as school districts ran into funding challenges, as funding seemed to get tighter and tighter and tighter, when you start to shrug off, what do we not need to teach anymore? cursive writing became a casualty of that, which is sad. But, you know, if the federal government mandates that everybody has to have this reading score and this math score and this science score, and but they're not saying, hey, but everybody got to write pretty, then whatever you whatever you incentivize, you're going to get more of. And so the incentives became for raise your reading, your math. They say writing, but it's more like the grammar as opposed to the cursive component. And so that's what they focused on. And then add to that the element where pretty much every kid is using some type of electronic device to conduct their studies these days, and writing just became a significantly less, it's just significantly less than so many of the other skills that are appropriate. Computer skills are more important than clear writing skills. And so once that became the game, then people are going to focus more on those computer skills. Think of the job application or the job interview. All right, tell us about your computer skills. Well, they could sound like me and be like, well, I have to have my wife help me with all of my new things. Or Justin here at the radio station is helping me learn all the new computer stuff I've got to learn. So you can't answer with, I need a kid or my significant other to help me with this computer skill. But I can write in cursive, right? Who's getting the job? So a happy mix of or a good mix of prioritization in other areas, incentivizing success in other areas, and with actual work skills needing to be really emphasized in other areas. Sir, you're right. It would be awesome if we all wrote in that beautiful manuscript. And I'm thinking of my dad. My dad's handwriting is like the prettiest handwriting that you've ever seen. You pick it up and be like, holy cow, is this calligraphy? Like, the guy's handwriting is just brilliant. But for probably the first two-thirds or three-quarters of his career, he had to write stuff at work. And then it became more of a typing. And when he had to switch and go to computers, I'm going to tell a story about my dad before I go. He was a hunt and pecker before he learned the QRT. Is that the home position for your hands? My dad had two fingers, and that's how he typed in the beginning when he had to switch from his beautiful cursive handwriting into the printed notes. So, Kirby, I think somewhere along that moment, that's when we switched, when they're like, nope, you can't write anymore. You got to submit your plan on a computer. And that would have been the last or the final straw that broke the camel's back. Now we're just typing. All right, well, it's been another fun Problem Corner. I'd like to thank the people for emailing me and getting a couple things on here. Now, remember, Dave does have those salmon weights at 419-7562. And if you're listening to this on Saturday morning or listen to it on a podcast, it doesn't matter. Just go straight to your computer, go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, send me over your email, and you will get to participate in Problem Corner. It's always a blast. And remember, on Problem Corner, there are no such thing as problems, just solutions.
Listen every Saturday morning at 9.
Have a great rest of the weekend.
I'm Wade. I'm out of
here.